This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. On this Christmas Day, finally came. Nothing can stop Christmas from coming, right? It's a serious notion on a most solemn day for people coping with tragedy and loss around the nation, and our prayers are with them. There is something about the deep meaning of this holiday time that triumphs over the superficial trappings and commercial impulses of Christmas. That is, Christmas with a small C. Thanks for listening and allowing us to be your companion, whatever it is you're doing this hour and today. You know us. We're not ones to leave well enough alone. We're always having conversations on how this might be improved or that upgraded or fixing things that we might believe are broken. Politics, policy, business, economics, daily life, how we live in our communities. You know what we do here at The Takeaway. Well, it has come to our attention that Christmas might function just as well, perhaps even a little better, with an improvement, a little tweak. Call it an adjustment. And we noticed this during that annual celebration of the Dr. Seuss story about the Grinch who stole Christmas. You know the story, how the Grinch tries to take away all the presents and the trees, thinking that it would keep Christmas from happening. And he did it, and then what did he hear?
But this sound wasn't sad. What? This sound sounded glad. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all.
Christmas is just fine without all the gifts. Well, this hour, as a public service, we're going to explore that idea seriously. What do we really value about the gift-giving and gift-receiving business? We're asking everyone we speak to what their best gift was, a gift they gave or got. And we'd love a story from you at 877-8-MY-TAKE, or just go to thetakeaway.org. Let's make sure that by the end of this hour, we're focusing on what's important about gift giving and receiving. And if it's a really stressful part of the holiday, we at least understand what the point is of putting ourselves through this each year. But we begin with a cost-benefit analysis of the whole gifting game. Nicholas Epley is a professor of behavioral science at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business. Epley says there are ways of measuring the value of gift-giving and gift-getting, and what matters may surprise you.
Look, there are benefits that come from a gift exchange on both sides of the equation. So people do, in fact, get a fair amount of happiness from giving gifts to other people. And they do, in fact, according to our research as well, get some benefit about out of putting careful thought into a gift for another person. And so you could go about it that way. Getting people exactly what they want is the best thing for making them happiest, but it does lose some of the overall happiness that you get out of the gift exchange. So I wouldn't promote that style of gift giving.
You wouldn't promote an elimination of gifts. You would promote maybe a more rational view of how we give and how we take.
Well, yeah, a more thoughtful view of it, I guess. So one of the things that psychologists try to do when we study any phenomenon is we try to get inside the heads of the people who are in the midst of it. So in the research that we've done that's at least relevant to gift exchanges, we've tried to think about what gift givers and gift receivers are thinking about when they exchange gifts and how that's likely to affect their appreciation and gratitude that they feel from the exchange. And what that inside perspective or inside approach to understanding behavior does, at least we hope, is that it makes you a bit more of a wise consumer if you know what's going on inside the head of people while you're doing this gift exchange.
I think a lot of people get very, very filled with anxiety in the whole gift-giving process, in the sense that if there was maybe one person you were trying to get into the head of to get that perfect gift for, or if there was just one person who was giving you a gift that really, really mattered, that you actually did want, that the whole Christmas idea would be more satisfying. But it's the everybody on everybody thing that I think creates an enormous amount of noise and angst. How do you deal with that?
The amount of thought that you put into a gift for somebody else isn't really appreciated in the way that you might think it is. And as a gift giver, you could simplify the giving experience quite a bit without taking away that much of the satisfaction that a gift receiver gets from getting a gift, simply by finding out what the other person wants and then getting it for them. So in our research, we found that gift givers, particular people who think about gift giving more abstractly, have a particular illusion about what gift receivers like and appreciate. And that illusion is that they think that their thoughtfulness, the amount of time and effort they put into getting just the right gift for the other person, is what really counts. After all, it's the thought that counts, we're told in gift exchanges. And that turns out not to be true. What really counts in gift exchanges is the gift, at least for the gift receivers. They're happy when you get them a gift that they want, and they appreciate the gift when you get them what they want. And the amount of thought that you put into the gift doesn't even occur to them as long as they like the gift. It's only the thought that counts, we find, that people think about how much time or attention a gift giver put into a gift. That thought only counts when you give people a credit gift, we find. So when you give somebody a bad gift, then they wonder, well, why on earth did John get me this particular gift? And they'll spend time thinking about whether you thought about this carefully or you just chose this somewhat randomly. But if it's a gift that they like, it's one they said they wanted, it's one that they were hoping for, they're happy whether you thought about it carefully or not. And so what that means is that for gift givers, you can take at least some of that pressure off of yourself. What gift receivers want most are the gifts that they want. They don't want your thoughtfulness as much as we might imagine, at least.
Well, you know, we're talking with Nicholas Epley, who's a professor of behavioral science at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business. And business is, in some ways, the deal here because so much of the retail business takes place around these holidays. What you're arguing for, it seems, is, or suggesting, a kind of wedding registry approach to the holidays where people post online what it is they're actually looking for, and you can go to the places and just like a married couple registers for various gifts. That's what you end up getting people, and that would end up being much more satisfying, less anxiety producing, and possibly would be a boon to the economy.
Well, yes and no. A lot of the happiness that comes from a gift exchange doesn't come just to the gift receiver. It comes to the gift giver as well. And getting a gift off of a list robs some of the happiness from a gift giver. So I actually think that you want, if you're going to be wise about gift giving over the holidays, you want to recognize that happiness comes in both sides of the exchange, that putting thought into a gift is mainly of value to the person who's doing all of the thinking, namely the gift giver. So we find that when gift givers put a lot of thought into what somebody else would want, they feel closer to the gift receiver. It helps to bring that relationship together a little bit. And buying something off of a wish list doesn't necessarily give you that. So I guess I would recommend a wiser approach to gift giving, one that maybe utilizes multiple gifts. So get your loved one what they say they want, but then also maybe find another gift. It doesn't have to be a big one, a small one, that you can put some thought into yourself. But you have to recognize that the value of that thoughtfulness is most likely to come to you as the gift giver than it is to the gift receiver.
So, and business school people like to use words like this. So we need to bifurcate, the whole gift giving and receiving phenomenon. So we need to enhance the ability of the gift giver to have this experience of thoughtfulness. And we need to get the gift receiver what they want. So the registry on one side and some sort of social media, here's your surprise, something that's just for you that I thought of as an adjunct to the registry would really make the whole holiday experience even more satisfying.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, most of us, at least for people who are really close to us, we give multiple gifts to people. It's typically not just one. And on that, for those folks, this kind of bifurcation would work, or this diversifying your gift giving would work quite well. A couple of gifts that you know they're going to want and be happy about, and then a couple of gifts that you go out on your own and you take a chance on. That'll be fun for you as a gift giver. That's part of what the holiday spirit is all about. And you shouldn't deny it. You just shouldn't expect that the gift receiver is going to appreciate all the thought that you put into it necessarily.
So ideally, what you want from me is a lovely poem on a picture of me here at the radio studio addressed directly to you and the brand new Ducati motorcycle.
That's right. Exactly. Thank you very much.
I nailed it. Nicholas Epley, professor of behavioral science at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business. So that's one way of totally taking apart the holiday gift-giving model, but can it be dispensed with altogether? D.T. Strain, a humanist minister and writer of the Houston Chronicle's The Spiritual Naturalist blog, says yes, and he's no Grinch. He's a writer from Houston.
I certainly don't by any means want to put a damper on giving, but what I think happens in our culture today all too often is just sort of a going through the checklist, dropping some money down on a mindless gift that didn't really take a lot of thought, or that didn't take a lot of, you know, something generic like a gift certificate is often just kind of a way to say, yeah, yeah, I got your gift, here it is. And so I think what I'd like to see more is that for the giving that does happen, that it be more meaningful and a lot more thought put into it. And if you can't do that, then there's nothing at all wrong with just letting the holidays be about spending time with the ones you love. Maybe your gifts can take the form of giving to a charity and then pick out a charity that they would be passionate about.
Is this something like the situation in elementary school where the teachers say, all right, you can do gifts, but everything has to be under a buck, or you do the you know, pull the Santa name out of the hat kind of thing. You only give a gift to one person, but this would be for the entire society, thinking of it as a, you know, fifth grade class.
Well, I mean, that can help things a bit. There's really two concerns here. There's the consumerism, the kind of rampant consumerism that goes on in our society, but then there's another issue, which is, how do we craft a holiday for ourselves and a practice for ourselves that really does the thing we want it to do, which is to generate and promote love and affection and truly memorable times and promote good things in our society? I think what happens sometimes that with all this gift-giving bonanza that goes on, It's like a test that you cram for, and then you forget everything that you learned for the test. After it's over, are we really a more generous society for having done so? Or would it be better to focus on being more generous throughout the year?
What a reasonable, humanist-sounding Grinch you are, Daniel.
Well, you know, that's the real challenge here, is that how do we shift these norms and habits without sounding like we're trying to basically take away Christmas. I look at myself in saying this as somebody who's trying to preserve Christmas. I look at the war on Christmas as this kind of thing that makes it all about material goods and how many gifts you get and that sort of thing. So quite the opposite. I think it's a preservation of what Christmas should really be about.
D.T. Strain is a humanist minister and writes the Spiritual Naturalist blog for the Houston Chronicle. Coming up, how one family's most precious gift came from complete strangers. We'll talk with Beth Gonzalez, whose 4-year-old son Lucas underwent a bone marrow transplant paid for by donations that came pouring in from around the world.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.